At Christmas time, we sing all kinds of hymns and carols. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set your people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. O come, Emmanuel, God with us. O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples of one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill all the world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel, God with us, shall come to thee, O Israel. Joy to the world. Let earth receive her king. But we need to be careful what we sing at Christmas time. Because these announcements of good news, this announcement of peace and of joy, this announcement of new life, comes as a particular kind of threat to the order of things. The way of peace in this child comes to us as an eruption, as a disruption, a provocation. This child brings with him the surprising emergence of a new age, of a new world, into the midst of this old age. But beware, because those who rule in this age, the rulers and authorities who specialize in self-grandeur, who arrange all of life into a pyramid and place themselves at the top, they will not go quietly. They will justify creating disorder in the name of maintaining their own kind of order. They will justify death in the name of preserving their own kind of life. For this is the way of the old age. But peace has a way. Life has a way. God has a way. The new erupts into the midst of the old. Life has a way of sneaking up on death. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. God with us has come to us. Let earth receive her king. Every birth has a kind of magic to it. Any parent knows that. And in the early days of a child, actually the early years, there's a kind of almost magical quality to that child. You can be sitting on the bus and strangers will be making eyes and winking, and, you know, burly men will be cooing, and, you know, children have a way of bringing us out of our self-consciousness. There's a kind of honor strangers will give to children. There's a kind of magic about children. The Christ child was no different, but the stories around Jesus take that kind of natural magic and extend it well beyond anything we might expect. The birth of this child, the birth of Jesus, stands apart. Angels and shepherds and prophecies, but also a star. There's a sense in which even the created order, the heavens and the starry host, get in on the celebration. On the night of Jesus' birth, the night sky is ruptured with the appearance of a star. A star so dazzling that some wealthy stargazing men in another country east of Israel take notice. These men themselves had been studying the stars, looking for a sign of God's favor, for a sign of God's nearness. And the rupture in the heavens leads them to collect gifts, to leave their homes, and to set out on a journey to find this one that had been born, this king, to give a tribute, to honor the birth of this king. This great one that was celebrated by the stars must be great indeed. So these wise men, they set out following. Now, we call them kings in some traditions. In some traditions, wise men. They were really more like probably Zoroastrian scientists. As a part of their religion in the East, they would have studied the natural world looking for signs. And these foreign scientists, these foreign wise men arrive in Jerusalem at the palace of King Herod, and they asked to see the one born king of the Jews. The irony here, of course, is Herod, the one presently serving as king over Judea, and all of his religious wise men have no idea about this event that these foreigners have discovered. But they do remember a prophecy from a long time ago, from the prophet Micah, that claims that a ruler will be born in Bethlehem. So these wise men from a foreign land leave Herod, and they search for this child of promise. Herod and all of his religious specialists cannot find this one born as king, but the star does, and so do the wise men. And they rejoice what they find at the house. The child they find is likely approaching the age of a toddler. And the wise men come into the house bearing gifts, bestowing gifts upon this royal one, bowing down to worship him. Imagine this scene for a moment. Strangers from far away, perhaps not even able to communicate in the same language, offering gifts, bearing witness to this royal birth. What a scene of wonder. For any early reader of this text, this scene would remind him or her of Isaiah chapter 60, where Isaiah prophesies that someday the kings of the earth will pour into Jerusalem and offer their gifts to the King of the Jews and offer their gifts to the God of Israel. Here are the kings of the world at one level coming and bearing gifts to the Christ child. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth and all the people in the earth, let all the nations come. All creatures receive their king. O come, desire of nations, bind all people of one heart and mind. All the things that divide us, all of the coercion and the violence and the manipulation, bid these things, envy, strife, and quarrels cease. Fill all the world with heaven's peace. We love these pictures of Christmas. Peace, harmony, promise, hope. Warm scenes of adoring shepherds and joyous wise men. Mary content with her child. Angels singing peace on earth. We love these scenes because this is the world we so desperately want to live in, where it's promising and hopeful, a world without fear, a world bent toward human flourishing, where God draws near and creation rejoices and the rulers of the earth bow down and come to pay tribute to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sitting around our Christmas trees with full bellies, opening gifts by the glow of Christmas lights, it almost seems as though this is true, that this is the world we live in. Peace on earth and goodwill to all. But be careful. Be careful when you're sitting around the Christmas tree. Be careful when you sing these songs proclaiming peace and joy and new life. Because this peace and this joy and this new life emerge, they erupt in the middle of a world that conspires against such hope. Our proclamations of peace at Christmas time are actually a kind of protest against the current world order. For the way of peace comes as a disruption, a provocation. For this child that the wise men honor brings a new age into the midst of the old. And those who rule in this old, tired age will not go quietly. For the one born the Prince of Peace is immediately put at risk. You see, the wise men are warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. And then Joseph is warned in a dream that not all kings will come to bear tribute to his child. That he needs to get up and immediately take his family and run to Egypt, for Herod is coming to kill the child. And so Joseph gets up, He takes mother and child. He leaves for Egypt under the cover of night. We don't think of this as a Christmas scene, but it is. This is just as much a scene of Christmas as the first one of peace and harmony. And this scene of Joseph running for his life is a common scene, just as common as us sitting around our Christmas trees with full bellies. It's a common scene all across the world. Mothers and fathers running by cover of night, cradling infants, nursing along toddlers, clinging to life, praying that God would spare them the violence that awaits others. This is a Christmas scene happening again and again and again in our world. I remember the first time I heard a story like this. I was living in Ames, Iowa. The first time I really had a close encounter with a story like this, I was living in Ames, Iowa as a youth pastor. And a young man shows up in our high school. And I got to know him after a while. He started telling his story. Very, very tall. He's probably 18 years old, but he was in grade 10 at the time. Very, very tall guy. And he begins telling his story about growing up in Sudan, South Sudan. One day when he was about 13, he was at school and they heard a militia was coming into their village. So he and his brother flee the school and they are hiding, in a little ravine outside of town, watching the militia come in and burn homes and mow people down with automatic weapons. After the militia kind of clears through the first time, he and his brother run back to the school to find their friends, and they find everybody murdered in the school on fire. Then they sneak their way through the town. They get back to their home. Their home's on fire, and they can't find their parents. Over the next couple of months, over the next couple of years, they survive, dodging the militia, crossing a war zone, finding other groups of refugees, eventually making their way out of Sudan into a refugee camp. His story catches the attention of a U.S. aid worker, and he's able to come to the United States on refugee status. These stories are common. They're all around us. There's a book out right now called From Bombs to Books, written by the former principal of Edmonds Community School in Burnaby, and the principal of, and then he served at Burn Park Secondary, or Burn Creek Secondary, also in Burnaby. Bombs to Books tells the story of kids that are in his school, families that are in his school. We've likely walked by them in the store. We maybe even live next to them. Families living in the Lower Mainland with stories like this, like Obang's. These stories are demonstrative. They're a picture. They clearly demonstrate to us what this old age is about. The nature of the world, when we say of sin and error pining, the nature of our world of sin and error, this is it. This world of war and violence and corruption, where some pay the price while others get to sit comfortable around the Christmas tree. Once Herod figures out that the wise men have avoided him, he begins to get anxious. He begins to scheme. How can I eliminate this threat? And so he calls together his standing army, and he sends them into Bethlehem and the surrounding vicinity. He doesn't even target Bethlehem, but he targets the surrounding vicinity. He's not taking any chances. And they are to indiscriminately kill any male who is under 2 years old. Herod will not tolerate any challenge to his authority. He will hold on to the old order as long as he can. He will squeeze whatever life is left in it. Let's pause for a minute and let this sink in. When we say peace on earth, when we sing, O Holy Night, we must not do so with blinders. Any claim we make about the love and the peace of God must rest uneasily next to this scene. Mothers and fathers trying to stand between a man with a sword and their toddler. A ruthlessly efficient army storming home after home, leaving only after you can hear shrieks out on the street. Peace. Yes, peace on earth, but it comes and is coming at a particular cost. The way of peace is costly, and the coming Prince of Peace comes as an eruption, a disruption, a provocation. For the Christ child brings a new age into the midst of this old one. But the rulers and the authorities of the old age, who have carefully ordered everything into a pyramid and placed themselves at the top, they will not go quietly. They have, and they will, justify disorder to preserve their pyramid. They have, and they will, justify death to preserve their own life. The status quo of a world of sin and error has a vampire-like quality to it. It feeds on blood, often innocent blood. Herod's violence and the cries of Bethlehem, they echo other times in Israel's story as well. Remember the scene in Egypt when God blesses the descendants of Jacob so that they have wealth and abundance in such a way that it threatens the Egyptian ruling class, and so they become persecuted and eventually enslaved. But Israel continues to grow. God continues to bless them, even as they're slaves, and so they begin to order all newborns of Israel, all newborn males, to be thrown and drowned in the Nile River. The shrieks at Bethlehem were anticipated in the cries of Egypt, and was followed over the centuries in many, many other situations, many other places. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, from our fears and our sins release us. Peace has a way, though. Life has a way. God has a way. The new erupts into the midst of the old. Life finds a way of sneaking up on death. If you remember back in Egypt, Miriam and her mother sneak a baby boy into a basket and let him float down the river, where he's discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, and he's raised in the house of Pharaoh, the man who he would someday challenge and overturn the order. He's raised in his house. Peace finds a way. God finds a way. So also, Joseph flees by night, and he remains hidden from Herod and his rage. Peace on earth, O holy night, not if the powers of this age can help it. But they can't. They can't help it. They will try. They will pile up victims. But they cannot stop what God has begun. Just like Moses escapes, just like Jesus escapes, so also peace will have its way. And this is what we celebrate at Christmas, that peace, that life, that love endures, even though we don't always see it enduring now. Just like Moses escapes, just like Jesus escapes, peace finds a way. But what about the victims? What about the countless children murdered by Pharaoh and by Herod? What about the countless murdered by violent regimes throughout history? How can we sing Christmas carols when atrocities like Bethlehem continue? When the mothers of lost children refuse to be comforted? 30 years later, the horror and the shrieks of Bethlehem are matched by a small group of women outside of Jerusalem. They stand before a man who is tried and crucified like a criminal. A man who is stripped and beaten and slowly drained of dignity. A man who is spit upon and who groans with the last gasps of life. This man calls out in words familiar to the mothers of Bethlehem and to us all at some time in our lives, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" The small group of women loved this man. One of them was his mother. All of them found the love and acceptance of God through him. He taught them to trust God, to live with full-fledged abandon and love for God and for others. But the rulers and the powers and the authorities of this age finally caught up to him. He escaped them at his birth, but they caught up to him at his death. They saw in his way of peace and of trust and of God-centeredness, they saw in him a threat to the status quo, a threat to their pyramid. And so they conspire to kill him, just like the babies in Egypt and the children in Bethlehem. 30 years earlier, Mary escaped this fate. But this time, Herod's son and the religious leaders captured Jesus. But it could go no other way, for this is the cost of peace. Jesus could have waged war and collected an army. He could have started a revolution and initiated a rebellion to inflict on Herod and on Pilate and on the other rulers pain for all the injustices that they caused. But this would only turn the table. It would not bring about new life. It could not create real and lasting peace because it would have come through violence. And so God in Jesus goes about the way of peace by standing with and among the victims, the abandoned, the helpless, the mourning. Jesus breathes his last and commits his spirit to the Father. But just like Joseph escaping to Egypt or Miriam hiding Moses in a basket, peace finds a way, life finds a way, God finds a way. And we discover 3 days later that God cannot be thwarted, even by death, that the crucified one is raised to life. The new age of peace and of wholeness and of reconciliation and of justice, this age is born and is now secured forevermore. For God is triumphant even over death. O holy night, Emmanuel, God with us, and all that this means, we can sing this. We must sing this. Peace on earth, not as romantics, but as those who know the depths of God's love and the lengths that God will go to restore what is broken. The powers will rage, the kings will conspire, the injustices will continue. We will be hurt, we will at times mourn, we will grieve, but not as those without hope, not as those that do not know the story. Christmas is about the new age, this provocation, this eruption of peace coming into our weary world. Let us live as those confident that peace, that love, that life will endure in the presence and in the work of Christ. Let us sing with eyes wide open and looking at the cross situated right behind the manger. Let us lay down our gifts and our claims to power, our practices of coercion and manipulation. Let us lay down our fears. Let us come to the child who offers this disruptive way of peace. And let us sing, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we live amidst this old age, and yet anticipate and long for you to bring about the completion of the new age. As we live amidst injustice, and brokenness, and violence. Help us to live without fear, to put our trust in you, to walk in your way. We pray this morning, "Come, thou long expected Jesus." Amen.